Okay, thank you so much, Daniel. Well, I think we're in for a real powerful treat this morning. We're very blessed to have somebody with us who can really manifest the gospel, not in word only, but also in an incarnational way, what it means to be a true Christian. I'd just like to say quickly here that for many people, the summer months are kind of a downtime. For me, it's probably the busiest time of year. And one of the things that we'll have going here this week is that this Saturday we're going to have a wedding of an Inuit couple right here in the sanctuary at 3 o'clock. I'm going to be marrying the man who was the founding father of Nunavut, actually. He's very, very well known all over the north, but they've recently moved into Steinbeck. There's going to be people here from the north. 20 or 30 of them will be here. And if you'd like to come and meet them, you're welcome. And it's going to be a great time, I do believe. I just will also mention, continue to pray for the service at the Hespeler Park on September the 8th. I believe God is leading to put together a very powerful service. And, we just really appreciate your prayers that we'll do everything in God's timing and order to see God's name lifted up in our community, that the church will have a message that will influence our whole community. Amen. And also, I'm just in the midst right now of filling out forms for a family from Iran that needs refuge. And the MCC has agreed to give spaces to this family that we've been seeking to sponsor. And so appreciate your prayers for that. And as we're going through this critical stage right now of filling out these forms. But there's another family that Megan and Gordon have helped to sponsor, along with Matt and Sabrina. And they are coming on August the 8th, so I'm hoping that by the time we have this service in Hespeler, we'll be able to introduce this couple and this family to the community. So, amen, may Niverville be a place of refuge for those that have no refuge. But ultimately, the Bible says that God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Some of you may remember on Easter Sunday, April 21st, when Marion was baptized here on Easter Sunday. Sarah was with us here, and she prayed a powerful prayer over Marianne. By the way, Marianne has a daughter that's going to be baptized this week, is it? And next Sunday? Yeah, so she's going to be. So God's working on her family. You see, one by one by one, they're coming in. We've been calling the prodigals home, and it's happening. But this morning, as I mentioned last week, this book, Miracle Escape, is Sarah's story. And are there additional copies of this, Sarah, do you know, that can be obtained? You can talk to her afterwards about that. But just imagine that your world has gone stark, raving mad, and you've been dragged out of your classroom at gunpoint and been lined up against a wall to be executed. Now imagine how grateful you are to God that you live to tell your story. Millions of Rwandan people were killed brutally. Many were tortured, raped, and then killed. And while America was engrossed in the O.J. Simpson trial back in 1994, Sarah and her whole nation were going through a trial of their own. But she's lived to tell the story. So from La Brokerie, I'd just like you to make welcome this morning very warmly, Sarah Simbi Nakur.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's a privilege and honor to be here, and I just want to thank Pastor and the leadership to allow me to be here. And I will tell you why I share this testimony. I know it does set people free, but I made a promise to God and say, God, if ever you take me out of this trouble alive, every church I go to, I will give you praise and I will share the testimony. So most of the church I've went to, I never ask, shall I share this? But it happens. God knows. I will do it. So another time I was afraid and said, God, what do you want me to do? Tell me now, things are so troubling me. what's going to happen. And again, God gave me a promise that is in Psalm 118 and verse 17. It says, "For you shall not die, but live and tell the great works that the Lord has done." So if I'm here today, I want to fulfill my promise to God and what he has promised to me, that I will tell the great things that he has done. I want to thank again the leadership to allow the children to be in here. I wanted to ask 8 and above and I got a bonus, so the kids are here. There is a good reason about the kids being with us. My mother used to encourage us to go to Sunday school, but would be curious and sneak in to their adult service. And I learned many stuff when I was in there. So I live in La Brocquerie. I'm married with one child. That's me. And what I will share, when I was a single woman, 24, who depended on the parents for everything, and I was a student. So it wasn't like somebody who was used to live her own life, no. And physically, I'm born in Kenya from a Kenyan mom and from a Rwandan father. And it happens we went to live to Rwanda, my dad's country, where the whole story took place. So physically, I'm born in Kenya. Spiritually, I became a born-again Christian in Rwanda around age of 15. That when I came to know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I gave him my life. After maybe 3 years, that when I got baptized in the water, there is a reason why I'm telling you all these things. So I came to the knowledge of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's something I looked for even before I was a born again Christian. Why? Because in the Bible, it says that when the Holy Spirit comes, you will have the power to be my witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the world. So it was that power that I wanted. As a shy woman, I was afraid to talk in the public. So I go to God. I want that thing that happened that day. That's all I want. So I knew there would be a transformation in my life. So I will look for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I didn't know how and when, but in 1990, in the summer, I don't remember the month. I remember I was in the crusade and I said, "God, this is my day." It was a Friday. I knew it was a promise of my life. Then I go, "God, I'm coming to get my promise." So I raised my hands. I knew I was going to catch something. What happened to me that time? My hands are up like this. It was like an electricity coming all over my body. Then hear me, I'm shouting, praising God loud. My mother was there. I was that shy, but I go, "I don't care. I'm doing what is in here." And there was that joy that I cannot tell you, the joy I had that day. So I wish you come to a place, you meet Jesus as your personal Savior, and you come to a place, you grab your promise of the Holy Spirit. He makes the difference in your life. Christians who are baptized in the Holy Spirit are different than the other ones who have not. We come to Christ because the Holy Spirit led us to Christ. But there is what they call the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The pastor will do that job. That's not my job to teach you that. But seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You'll be a different individual. So this is 1990. I pack my stuff to go to school in the north. I ask God, "Shall I go there or not?" And the reason is this. There was a conflict in my country. that had been there for a while. Rwanda has three tribes, the Hutus, the Tutsis, and the Batwa. The Batwa are like, they were the first to be in that nation. They are short people who lived on hunting. They said the Hutus were the second to come. They are of average height, and then they are the Tutsis, the tall people. So, the two tribes, Hutus and Tutsis, they had their own conflict that dates back, way back there. And then there was a conflict between the people from the north and the south of the country. So someone living in the south going to the north, it wasn't something easy. So when my parents went to Rwanda, we lived in the south. Now I'm going to study in the north. I asked God if I have to go or not. Surely God promised me to go study there. I knew I would not complete my degree there, but I knew God would be with me. So we went there, 94, that's what I'm going to tell you what happened. I'm at school, ready to graduate in accounting, Bachelor of Accounting. But 2 months before that happened, we hear that the former president airplane was shot down. So what came in people's heart, whether you were Hutu or Tutsi, there is that fear that just came to all everyone in the country. Everyone was afraid to die because of the death of the president. So the two tribes then starting killing each other. But what I'm going to share, again, it's what I saw with my eyes wherever I passed by. I was in the area where the Hutu killed the Tutsis. When I studied, I say, my mom is a Kenyan, my dad is a Rwandan. So I happen to be the woman you see now. I happen to be the tallest in my family. God made my dad a short man and my mom a short woman in their family. Others were the tallest. So in Rwanda, when the Hutus were killing the Tutsis, they go by physical features. When we look at each other, you can tell. Maybe 99% correct, the other one omitted. So I happen to be identified in the eyes of the killer as a Tutsi. So I happen to be the second tallest woman at school. So from the south, I'm in the north, I'm the tallest woman. There was no hope to go back to my parents. No matter what I would have done, there was no hope. But God is God who keeps his promises. When you make an adventure, go for a promise from God, so when you get into hard stuff, you remember what God has promised you. That word will keep you. My case, I forgot. So the president died. If I laugh, forgive me, okay? God has set me free, okay? He has set me free. And I see this, it's 25 years ago. So when I see some truth that makes me laugh, I enjoy it and laugh. Because God has set me free. So the president dies on the 6th of April. I'm in my bedroom, ready to go to bed, 8 o'clock. So I hear that he was shot. My roommate say, did you hear what happened? The woman just got angry. I was like, I can't sleep. Let me go find out what's going on. So you could see the fear in the eyes of students. Those who get angry, mad at each other, you could tell. So now I'm going there with the short other people. I'm like, hey, the look wasn't good, really. So it happens on Thursday that when the soldier came to our campus thinking they are there to protect the students, but that wasn't. Friday, they kill those they wanted to kill. So they sorted them out, killed one by one. And people of God, death is just this close to every one of us. Though sometimes we don't know it's there. So I saw people talking to the soldier, to the militias, in a second, dead. So this is what happened. And I want to let you know this. In the Bible, Psalm, I think it's 11, 3 and 5, it says, 3 and 4, when all the foundation are shaken, what can a righteous person do? So at the time, all the foundation of our countries were shaken. Everything we could rely on, everything I could rely on was shaken. So what can a righteous person do when all the foundation are shaken? The Bible says, God is still in his holy temple. If you are God's holy temple, God is in there. Though everything is shaken, you are his holy temple. He dwells in there. If Jesus is in your heart, God is there with the answers. So outside, it's trouble. It's the killing. I stay in my room. And I want to tell you, when all your friends are gone away from you, take it as an opportunity to meet Jesus, who is your best friend. So I went in my room. I go, God, there are this gunshot, there are the hand grenade exploding, people screaming, some are dying, others are screaming at them. So all of those stuff, we do have things in our lives that are loud and noisy, and they are shaking us. They are bringing fear in us. But what I did, I went in my room, knelt down, talked to God. I said, God, everybody's gone. I'm here by myself. So I got an opportunity to talk to God. And I grew up in a church, the Pentecostal church, where I was used to prophetic words when people stand and say, stop prophesying. I'm in my room by myself. I go, God, talk to me. But how are you going to talk to me? There is no one to give me a word of prophecy. So I'm there. And then I go, God, I know. This is your word, okay? I want you to talk to me through your word. That's the only way now it's left for me. I had my Bible. Christian, let's get our Bibles, not the ones on the internet. Those can fly away in a single minute. Hold your Bible, have your Bible. So I go, God, and I'm not asking you to do what I did. That's my faith at that time that worked. I say, God, wherever I put this thumb, let it be my word for today, for I don't know what's going to happen to my life. So when I did it, it landed in Isaiah 43, and I will read that for you. The word of God is alive. This is what it says. But now that says, the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I'm reading this one, fear not, and I was afraid. So God is talking to me not to fear, that he will hold me with my hand. So there was that excitement that I've got a promise from God. And again, I hear what happening outside. The same fear came. Why am I sharing this? There are times we pray and we know we have prayed and God has answered, but when we look at the circumstances, our hope dwindles again and we forget what God has said. So I say, God, now was my right thumb. Let's use this one. And this is what I got again. My Bible was closed. Put in my thumb. I landed on Isaiah 41 and verse 10. I will start there. Again, it says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing, and those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them. Those who contended with you, those who war against you shall be as nothing. So this is the word of God that is being applied in my situation. People had the power to kill. They looked at me. I was their number one on the list to be killed. But when I came to them, God has taken away their power to touch this body you see here today. And wherever I went, they wanted to kill me. But nobody ever dared to touch me. So my body, there is nothing as, no, nothing that touched this body the way it is. God had a purpose to preserve this body. So when I say that God is God of protection, He's the protector. When you come in the situation you need protection, call Him, He will be there. Why? Because you are His holy temple. He's not gonna leave you nor forsake you. Maybe you may ask me, why did others die? God has the answer. But what I'm telling you, it's for this body. He gave a promise of protection. So He fulfilled what He has promised me. Now I'm in the room. Again, I go, God, this was for Jacob. This was for Israel. Can you tell me one more time what is mine? I want to know what you are telling me in this situation, if I'm dying or if I'm going to live. So me to die, it wasn't a big deal. And I had asked God if I'm dying to give me even a song to sing. I was ready to go up there. But the will of God, that what mattered. And the other thing that made me not to go as such, it's because my dad has allowed me to go in the north, knowing that it was a dangerous place to be. But because I have heard of God protecting me from there, I said, let me go. So I didn't want anybody to blame Him to have allowed me to go. So even if I were to die, I ask God to spare me for the sake of my dad. I was ready to die when my dad sees me and then go. But that was in the plan of God. So I'm in there. There are times we do doubt, but God is God who is gracious. So I say, God, I want something that doesn't have a name on it. That would be just mine. So what happened? I ended up reading in Psalm 91. Again, I use my hands, just close my Bible, and then say, God, I want something that is for me where there is no other name attached to it. So I'm reading from verse 1 where it says, He who abides under the shadow of the Almighty. I'm like, God, do I abide? Do I abide in you? I am a sinner. Sometimes I sin, right? Do we sin? Yes, we do. So I go, but you know me very well, okay? So I was trying to get something. Now I'm reading. I come to this place, verse 7. Hear what it says. It says, a thousand may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and then see. Okay? So it shall not come near me, but I shall see it with my eyes. So when I saw that one, I go, amen. Can we shout hallelujah? Yes, that was mine. There was no other name attached to it. Okay? So what happened? I hear a knock on my door. A soldier with a gun. It's my first time to meet a soldier with a gun. So they go, what are you doing here? I say, I'm praying. They go, are there some Tutsis here? I say, no. And this is what I had told God when I saw that one. I say, look, people see me as a Tutsi, but now whoever sees me, just let them see me as a Hutu, okay? Because they are killing the Tutsis. I don't have time to give explanation of who I am. So he came and said, there's some Tutsis. I say, no one here. Then I go, what do you see? I'm wondering. Other people see me as a Tutsi, but this one is asking me if there are some. I say, no. So another guy came and said, I know this room, no worries. And that was the end. Somehow, somewhere, I was on the list of the people to be killed. And one person say, leave that woman alone, remove her name, and then if she's to be killed, don't take the blame of putting her on the list. So that thing got erased. So there's some plan that the enemy has planned against you, but they shall not prosper if you stay where you are supposed to be. So then we're told to go outside. We go outside. What I saw was so terrible. It was so terrible. But this is how God is good, right? God is so great. I go outside. They are telling us they used two political parties to tell people if you belong to this, go there. You belong to this, stay here. So to me, going outside was death. Staying was death. But I say, I have prayed, I'm not staying inside to give more explanation to this killer. So I go outside. I reach to a place. We had to go downstairs to get to the ground. I'm there, and people are screaming, shouting. You go, look at you, where are you going? So you think you belong to this? You come, we take you where we have taken people like you. That when I saw the dead bodies there on the grass, so that feeling, they're shouting. But you know what? If you remember how God set that big fish to swallow Jonah, God used a man unknown to me up to now. If I tell you, you bring this man, I won't be able to tell you that I've seen him. But the only thing I remember, he had covered his head with a big hat, and he had, a spear. Yeah, so I look at that thing, it was right up to me here. I was like, maybe this one is going just to do this. But God used that person. You know what he said? He said, this is my neighbor. She was born in my neighborhood. I know her. Don't touch her. I told you I came from the south. This man was from the north. I've never been his neighbor in the north. Okay? That's God when he confuses people. He was among the killers, but he said that the soldier, the killers, all there who were ready, who were screaming at me, kept quiet. Okay? So if God is on your side, who can be against you? Right? They kept quiet. God is good. God is good. So it happens again. They select all they could kill. But again, I say that, you know what? There are peace that God gives in times of trouble. There are things our mind cannot explain, but what he did for me somewhere, it became like a dream because it was beyond my comprehension. It happens. I've seen many things, and I want to let you know this. People, wherever we are good and we are bad. But the difference is this. When Jesus is in our heart, that makes a big difference. Okay. So people wonder why Rwandan killed each other to that point. But I will tell you, when the enemy look into a heart of a human being and there is no Jesus, he can come with all his angels there, guide you what to do. To me, I go, Jesus covers our heart. If we are good, it's because God intended us to be good. If we give our heart to Jesus, then we are the people we're meant to be in the first place before we came to know sin. So in the night, I'm going to jump here and there because of time. I don't know when we stop. But they came, now it's in the night. I've seen all that happen. They wanted to kill again. They came to my table, and this was a very strange table. People who were identified 100% as Tutsis, and the others who were just mixed, the two tribe, so children born from the parents from two tribe were sitting there. So it's a table. When you look at it, it was so terrible to be there, okay? Those set apart to be killed. But we were set apart by God to be protected by him. So that no single day will we say that human being protected us on that night. They came, they asked me, my name. So my dad gave me a good name, Simbi. That means beautiful. I'm beautiful, right? Yeah, it means beautiful. But that's a name that was found in the Tutsis tribe. So when the Hutu finds this in my ID, again, they concluded who I am. My ID identification cards, the ones that we use, they had all your personal information, including the tribe you come from. Mine had that mention Hutu, but no one would believe that, okay? So it was there. It was a great idea for people to just change their ID cards to whatever is suitable if you wanted something. So then they look at my mom's name. It's a Kenyan name. So this is confusing all these soldiers. They came. This is what we did. There are times we needed to protect each other. Those who have their ID with a mention Tutsi, they throw them away. Because if they come and read Tutsi in the ID, you are dead. So whoever could correct that one, or if not, throw it away. It makes sense so that you could leave. So we say, okay, we are going to sit at the point. Those who don't have their ID, we do. When the soldiers say ID up, we do like this. So this is between me and this one. From far away, you couldn't tell the bearer of that ID. So when they came closer to us, we put it down on the table. But for some reason, they pointed me all the time when they came to that table. Then they said this. Second time, this is the second time we got this ID. The third time, you'll be dead. I look at them. in my life, I've never come to the point your body goes shaking like this for fear. This was for fear, and my knees were just like this. I have a fruit. I love this fruit. They call them passion fruit, okay? And I want to eat, but I'm like this. Oh, boy, I couldn't control that. There was a heavy spirit in the area. But I remember one thing, okay? And you're going to help me with this. We're going to shout the name of Jesus. I remembered the name of Jesus. Can we say Jesus?
Jesus.
Jesus. I remembered that name. And I remembered as a young woman, I had gone in the neighborhood where people were attacked by the evil spirit. And I used the name of Jesus. So I go, hey, these people are being led by the evil spirit to do what they are doing. I'm going to use this name, okay? I look at the soldier, I go, Jesus, they are not taking me, okay? I whispered that one. I see the soldier going this way. I go, it works! The name of Jesus works! Okay? When all other names are not working, the name of Jesus works! Okay, if you see people telling us don't use the name of Jesus and they allow you to use the name of God, you don't know what God they are talking about, but let's go for the name of Jesus. That's the name above all other names. So it works for me. In the corner, they get another lady. Her ID was a Tutsi ID, which meant she was to be killed. She said, people of God, help me. People were so quiet. And then she said, oh God, come help me. It was so quiet. But as soon as she said, Jesus, come quickly, the soldier split into two groups. Okay? So the one that was powerful came to support this lady. They say, where is the ID? She had just a small thing like this. Say, oh, they just broke it. So they say, okay, you can't prove that she's a Tutsi. Therefore, you are not killing her. Why am I bringing this? The name of Jesus. There is a power in that name. That's the name saved that woman. It happens. They will see me. They want to kill me. But you know what? It came to a place. One of the soldiers who was determined to kill me will come and stay maybe in 2 meters away from me. He couldn't now dare come closer. That was the protection of God over my life. We left the school, go to another place. Again in the morning, there was no food, eh? And we slept on the floor, not like this one was a cement, no blanket. But God was in the business of something. So they came, he came in the morning. This is what he say, I quote, that before he goes to work, he wants to shed someone's blood. So my blood on that day was the blood he intended to shed. But when he came, I looked at him. I go, God, I didn't die there. I'm not going to die here neither. And I'm not dying in the hands of this man. He goes to another student talking about mean things. And in the end, this is what he asked. Who is this woman? Whenever I try to approach her, she does things that repels me away from her. What does she do? So say, I know her, this and this. So the guy described me as somebody who knows me, but he didn't know where I come from. So this soldier came to me and he came this way to greet me. I thought he was going to pull me and take me. Then he goes, why are you afraid? He was shaking hands just to say good morning because all his plans now were destroyed. Then he goes, why are you afraid? So I'm like, maybe he saw that I'm afraid, So there is no point to lie. I kept quiet. He shook my hand and he said, "Fear not. You are not going to die, and you will not die. Goodbye." The man left. Left me with a prophetic word, and no one touched me in that place. So, as a Christian, know God who you have trusted, who he is, what he can do. He used even a pagan person to give me a prophetic word in line with what I have read in the Bible. We went to a different place, but I'm going to skip stuff. This is what happened. I come to a place. Again, I had prayed. I said, "God, you've spared my life. You take me back to my parents. I'll be satisfied." We come to a place. I looked at people. I go, "Oh, they just look like me. I can freely pass. No big deal." Big mistake that we Christian we make. There are things that are ours. We have to rely on Christ and Christ only, not what the world offers. I get there. You know, women, they get compassion. But when there is no compassion with women, the whole world is dead. There were women sitting, the road was down, so they would be like up there, they see me passing, they're looking at me, laughing, so they're like, they were just ready, okay, ready to kill. But this is what God did. When I remembered that this place is different than any other place I've been to, again, I came back to Jesus. And then those women came down, look at me. They go, "You know what? This roadblock." Oh, we were on the bus, but they had made the roadblock with a stone up to here so that the bus won't cross. Then they came and say, "Oh, don't shed this blood. Don't shed this blood." They left. So I'm trying to cross the roadblock, but what I saw would be the machetes, would be those javelins, there would be the spears, there would be all tools that were used in killing. So that is for the heart, you will go, "Do I go or I'm not gonna go?" This is what happened. And I want to encourage people here. There is what the world sees as beauty or what the world see and describe you. But I want to tell you one thing, how the Bible describes you and me. It says you are fearfully and wonderfully mad. Can we say that to wake up? I'm fearfully, wonderfully mad. That's how God made you. On this roadblock, they are killing. Then I see a very short man. And I mean a very short man. Okay? Like maybe this tall. But that's a short man in our country. He came with a sharp machete in front of me. So, to me, he's gonna do, maybe to reach me, I was like, he's gonna do it this way. But, this is what God did, okay? God can use short people the same way he can use tall people. Okay? So don't let anybody go, "You are short or you are too tall." You are never short to God. You are never tall to God. Your height, he measured it. Your color, he just measured it perfectly. Okay? That's why we look differently. Some are big, some are thin. Let's not go by what the world is calling us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. This man came and said, "Hey, pass me your identification card." I gave it to him. That time, There was no any authority. Everybody with a machete has authority over you if you didn't have any. So he goes, your ID. I gave my ID. So he took his from his back pocket and then opened it and shows everyone, look, hey, don't touch this woman, you know? When she was 16, she just looked perfectly, just like me. Don't touch her. Maybe because she comes from a rich family, that's why you have someone like this. I give the permission for her to go. I went in the bus. God used a short man to rescue me. So don't put short people down, okay? There is a time for them. Okay, there is a time for them to do things what tall people can't do, right? And if you are tall, be happy that you are tall. Okay? So I come to another place, and again, they got us from the bus. Again, you have to identify who you are, then they will choose who goes and who stays. Let me tell you, when you've prayed, there is the favor that comes from you. And there is a protection of God that comes to you. I reached to a place where, again, they stopped me to be killed. A man looks at me from head to toe. Again, goes. Then we made an eye contact. The man just zoomed away, like the way you run 100 meters, okay? It wasn't a marathon. He runs away, right? So there is the protection of God that covers you in the presence of your enemies, no matter what. So I stay with another guy who holds my ID. Another one comes and say, why are you holding this lady here? So confusion, dear, like, you stopped him. No, I didn't. You did it. So then the guy goes, so you didn't, I didn't do it. So let her go. I mean, they are gone. At another point, they use this, they call, it's not a hand grenade, but it's something that explodes. They say, if I go to the bus, in the bus, they will burn the bus with me, and it's gone. But one of the leaders said, I allow this woman to pass by. You burn the bus, you will die before she die. So then he let that thing go back where they kept it. So I didn't die. With all these things, though I was a Christian, sometimes our soul get affected. So when I reached to my parents, everyone said, it's a miracle. They wanted to know how I reached there. But in my heart, something has gone wrong. I have come to a place, I go, God, I'm alive. But do you see what Hutu have done? They have killed people. I had asked him why, but the answer to me was even Jesus, who was innocent of anything, he was killed. And this is when I say, why are they killing the kids? Then I go, they even wanted to kill me for no reason. So I hated them, okay? I was angry. But good thing, and if ever someone come to hurt you, you are a Christian, and you have a friend who is Jesus. I went back to Jesus before I tell the people how angry I was. Then I go, God, I was hurt. They wanted to kill me. Remember, nobody ever touched my body. And I say, even Rwandans, all together. If I go here in the Hutus, they call me a Tutsi. And I go in the Tutsis, they call me a Hutu. And I'm born from a Kenyan and a Rwandan father. I'm nowhere. This is too much. You get me out of here. Maybe if it is an outsider who offends me, maybe I will understand. Why am I bringing this? In our family, we get hurt by our closest friends or sibling, it hurts so bad. If it is an outsider, you can bear it. But I went to God. I knelt down. I told him my heart the way it was aching. You ever get ache from someone, go back to Jesus. So I say, this is what it is. God is good. Okay? And our God speaks. I'm there. I'm praying. These are the questions from God. Who came to rescue you at this place? Do you remember the guy I say who said that he knows me from his neighborhood? So that's the first picture I got in my mind. Second one, where the Hutu boys who brought a mattress for me in the night where I could sleep, and they watch over me. And again, I'm praying, who brought this to you? Who brought food? So my answers were Hutus, 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 okay? With that one, I remember crying again. Now it's different than my tears before. I say, God, now I came to know. Now I understand. I have made a general statement about Hutus, saying they are all bad. I've made a general statement on Rwandan, saying they are all bad. But I came to remember, not everyone is bad. Forgive me. Now it's me saying, forgive me for making such a general statement. We do make such a general statement about people because maybe one or two have done something, but that's not right in the sight of God. So when I did that, there is the peace that came to my heart, and I said, God, I forgive them. I forgive them. It's not an easy thing to do, but I forgive them. And the issue is this. Can you imagine not even forgiving somebody you don't know? You bring those killers in front of me, I won't be able to tell who and who. No. There were no masks. Okay. But the heart can keep something. Now there are people we know who have hurt us. They were in their time of darkness when they did what they did. But if you walk in the light of God, we have the light. Let's come to a place you go, God, you've forgiven me. I know I did lots of damage too. You forgive me. I forgive them. So I'm here to tell you, release your heart to God. Don't hold it back. Bring it to Jesus. The way he gave me that freedom, you can get it. People say that there is this trauma that doesn't get healed, the one they call post-traumatic syndrome. I took a course about that trauma. All things that were identified in that course, I had those. But Jesus came down, touched my heart, and make me free. So, you come to a place, some things bring trauma. Just go back to Jesus, the one who hung on the cross there, the one who resurrected. He's there to set you free. Maybe you are at a place, you go, this is too hard, this is too tough. I know some people. It has been hard for them to leave smoking because the world goes, this is how you go, this is how you do it. But if you believe Jesus who resurrected among the dead, he can set you free on that. Even other things you think that they are impossible, to him all things are possible. Give him your heart. Bring that issue to him and see what he can do for you. I tell people I'm free. When I took that course, I told people I disagree because I know what Jesus has done. There are many things that are pushing us to an end, trying our Christianity. Let's stand with the man Jesus. Jesus only, and nothing else added to that, and we'll be free. God bless you. I'm stopping here, but you are here. You feel like I need to bring this issue to Christ. I'm free to pray with you, with the leaders. You are here. Maybe you don't remember ever committing your life to Christ. Though you come to church again, be free. Meet the man Jesus I met. Your life will never be the same again. Let's not close the service just like this. Let's take time. If you want to come here, no problem. Wanna stay there. But to me, what I know, there are things that I brought to Jesus by stepping out from my seat so that I can remember what I committed to him. So I pass the mic to the leader, and God bless you.
We are going to be available here, Sarah, and I'll be up here. And if there's other of you that are prayer warriors that we need up to pray with someone, I also encourage you to pray with the people beside you. You know them. They know your hearts. If there's something that you need to be set free from, there's power in the name of Jesus. It struck me. I just want to mention this real quickly, but it struck me, Sarah, Isaiah 43, where it talks about not being afraid. It talks about passing through the waters and through the fire and God being with us. Some of you need some of your children to be free. It's the same very chapter that's calling them back. Keep reading the verses. Do not be afraid. I will bring your children. I will gather them home. Everyone called by my name, who I have made, call upon the name of Jesus for them. Forgiveness sets free. Jesus sets free. I never thought I could get free from pornography addiction. This is dating back many, many years. But something had a change in my mind where I simply called upon the name of Jesus and I believed him that it was possible. And I started seeing myself as free. And it changed. And every time the enemy came with his temptation, I would laugh at him and say, that's not what I am. I'm free by the blood of Jesus. So it's an opportunity this morning. Take it. I encourage you. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. We pray for the power of your blood to be upon every head and heart in this room, recognizing that there is no greater power. And you, Lord, have come to set us free. I pray that people will walk out of this place knowing that that power is available to them by the Holy Spirit. I pray this in your name. Amen. Invite you to come for prayer as you wish. Amen.